Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation here this evening. It's post-Super Bowl, I guess, now, so that's over. We don't have that to worry about, and I'm informed that the Chiefs won, so there we go. I think I realized sometime today the Chiefs were playing. I think it was at the Nursing Home today. One of the residents said, I'm hoping the Chiefs win. So he got his desire. So I'm glad. You're hoping for them, and I'm sure you're a happy camper tonight. But whatever the case is, there's no game on to detract from the program. You can listen to us till midnight unless I put you to sleep first. And I hope we don't do that. But, goes with the territory. We're going to get into a couple of things here tonight as well. But again, let me welcome you to the program tonight. I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And from there, of course, you can link to our Facebook page, facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. You can like us there, follow us on Facebook. I try to put up a number of things there from time to time, and there's also links to our homepage, the Bible Baptist Church, located in Richfield, Ohio. We'll have more information on that a little bit later on in the program, as well as at the end of the program. And, of course, you can link from our webpage, livewithpastoral.com, to our Facebook page, and you can watch us on Facebook. You can watch us on Facebook, true, because it's linked to our YouTube page. That's what I meant to say. And so that'll all link up there. So I guess the big starting point, if you're just trying to figure out where to go, just look for livewithpastoral.com, and Lord willing, that'll get you there. Well, we're live on the air tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And let's go ahead and start our program this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray you bless the program, use it for your glory. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us encourage believers in their walk with you. We just want to thank you for all that you've done for us. And just bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I want to get a couple things out. I want to send out a happy birthday, a friend of mine. His birthday was on Groundhog's Day. How about that? And we had an ice cream cake, homemade ice cream cake for him at church today. And I said, wow, look at this, Groundhog Day. Your birthday just seems like it comes around again and again and again, doesn't it? But I was joking at church today. I said, I was tempted to come in and play the same song over and over and over during the services, see how long it took anybody to catch on that today was Groundhog's Day. And I never did hear whether or not the groundhog saw his shadow. I didn't think he'd see his shadow today. And then, of course, it depends on which groundhog you look at, because there's Punxsutawney Phil, there's Buckeye Chuck, and there's other ones around, but sometimes they're the same. Sometimes they battle it out. I'm convinced that what it is, if he sees his shadow, it's six more weeks of winter. If he doesn't see his shadow, it's 6 weeks till spring. That's what I'm convinced what it is. But at any rate, it always seems to be about the same. I heard the legendary longtime Northeast Ohio Cleveland weatherman Dick Goddard one time, I think it was, saying that there is a slight bit of truth to the groundhog, that his accuracy is slightly above 50%. And then some of you may remember years ago, there used to be a guy, I think he was out of Florida, called Rick Horkheimer or something, Horkheimer. He was an astronomer guy, and he did these astronomy things, and you'd see him on TV, and he always had his tagline, "Keep looking up." But he did a thing on Groundhog's Day one time, too, and he also said that the groundhog is right slightly more than half. I think he said like 61% or some number like that, and it has to do with some kind of movements of systems and different weather systems. And if it's sunny on the 1st of February, then it'll be a later spring. And if it's not sunny, it'll be an earlier spring. So, but more often than not, it seems like they're wrong. So anyway, another thing that's interesting about today, if you happen to look at the calendar and look at the date, write it out. It's 0202020. If you write it backwards, you know what it is? It's 0202020. Kind of neat. So it's going to be a while before that happens again. But just little things like that, you know, and don't read anything into it, please, because that just happens to be because we have a calendar and it's going to happen. That's just the way the dates do. And it's like I've got a friend of mine. His name is spelled the same forward as it is backwards. And sometimes when he writes it, or if you write it down, he'll say, "Oh, you spelled it backwards." But it's the same forward and backwards. So at any rate, it's just kind of neat. Just neat looking at the calendar. 0202020. And backwards, it's 0202020. Geeky thing to get excited about, I guess. But anyway, glad you're with us tonight. Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and our toll-free number, 888-677-9673. We've got some callers calling in. We'll get to them in a minute. And I do want to mention something again, almost forgot before I get to our callers. Mentioned it Friday at the start of our show on Friday. And by the way, if you did not hear our show this past Friday, I had Kimberly Diemert, Executive Director of the Hugh Jackson Foundation, licensed private investigator herself, dealing with child human trafficking and things of that nature, and a lot of information on the program. Encourage you to listen to that. You can go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find links to the program and some good information there. Ohio is fourth in reported cases of human trafficking in the nation. I'm not sure which one's first, second, and third, but it's of the three states, California, New York, and Florida. But Ohio's fourth in terms of reported cases. And for all that are reported, we know there's more that aren't reported. And it wasn't planned, but it worked out. We had opportunity to be involved in something a little bit, and I just thank God for that. And I just want to give a shout out tonight again to the Cleveland Police Department, the 4th District, involved with a action on early Wednesday morning, Code 1, dealing with child endangerment. And I just want to give a hearty thanks and congratulations to the stellar work, the professional work, the compassionate, caring work of the Cleveland police officers in the 4th District. I haven't had a chance to meet you personally, and let me just tell you, you are an answer to the prayers of a lot of people, and God bless you for it. Our police officers don't get the recognition that they deserve, and let me tell you, they deserve a hearty congratulations and thanks for the stellar work that they did last Wednesday morning in the wee hours of the morning. So again, thank you to the Cleveland Police Department 4th District officers. You know who you are. Thank you. Well, let's get to our callers here tonight. First up tonight, we have Nancy calling in this evening. Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. And I just want to sing happy birthday to Christopher, 14 years old today. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Yeah, I know. I saw on Facebook there was an ice cream cake there. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And And as far as the Super Bowl, I didn't even know who was playing until yesterday because I'm not really that into football.
Well, I knew the Chiefs were playing because one of the residents at the nursing home, he told me he was rooting for the Chiefs. He was going to watch Super Bowl. He was hoping the Chiefs would win. So I knew the Chiefs were playing. And
Well, I knew that the San Francisco 49ers were playing because my daughter lives in the San Francisco area, and she and her husband are really rooting for them.
Yeah.
So I was sort of interested in only for that reason. Other than that, you know, unless the Browns are in the Super Bowl, I really don't even follow it.
Well, that's a once-in-a-century thing. So we had once back in the 1950s. So if we go by 100 years, what's that, 2050s, I guess, be the next time?
Yeah, somewhere around
there. I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, my question today is,
yes.
Some people truly believe that God speaks to them today either audibly or more likely in their mind if they ask him a question, and they say that they hear him talk to them. And then I have heard that Muslims have come to Christ by way of dreams. Although most preachers, including Pastor Andy, says the only way God, and that's my pastor for 33 years, the only way that God speaks to us is through the Bible. Reading the Bible, if you have a question, you go to a concordance and find out, you know, that particular subject, and then you find it. So do you know of any Bible verses that would really prove that God only talks to us through the Bible in New Testament times? That's my question today. Thank you.
Well, I believe that God does speak to us through the Bible, and He will speak to us through other Christians, certainly, especially if they're quoting the Bible. But oftentimes when we're praying for something, you know, the Bible says, seek and ye shall find. Oftentimes when we're praying for something, God's going to find a way to make it clear to us. Now, I'm not saying we're going to rely on signs and wonders and feelings and extra biblical revelation. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is oftentimes when you're reading the Word of God and you're praying about a situation, it'll be like a verse just lights up for you, and you just look at it and you do a double take and you think, wait a minute, that's exactly what I'm thinking about. In fact, the other night I had something happen, and I was reading in the Bible. Let me flip over here to Psalm 56, I believe it was Psalm 56, and Psalm 57, I believe. Let me see if I got the right one here. 56 and 57, I believe. Yeah, because it in Psalm 56, it started out saying, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." And at the time I was reading this was just the other night, I think about Thursday night or something like that, and there was something going on, something that we were involved in, and had reason to believe that there were people who were working against me in a fashion that I couldn't really know what they were doing or even necessarily who all they might be using, and except that there were some things that were going on. And so I sat down and I opened my Bible, and part of my daily Bible reading includes a selection of the Psalms, and I did not select this one on purpose. It just happened to be the one that came up that day. And when I read that and I saw that, "Be merciful unto me, O God," I'm thinking to myself, well, Lord, you know, we were doing the right thing, and then to be falsely accused and things of that nature. And as I read this psalm, it brought incredible comfort. And even verse 5, where it said, "Every day they rest my words, all their thoughts are against me for evil." And, you know, all this sounds, you know, like you're being overwhelmed, but then as I got down further, it said, In verse, I can go down, there's a lot, but in verse 9 it says, "When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. For this I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." And it continued like this into this Psalm 57.
Amazing.
And it's just like stuff was leaping out saying, don't be afraid. Don't worry. You did the right thing. God's taken care of you. He's given you the promise. And this was God speaking to me through his word to reassure me. I wasn't getting audible voices in my head. I was just simply reading the word of God. And then along with the same time, my wife says, oh, look what, I think it was her sister posted on Facebook. And there was a, it wasn't exactly a Bible verse, but it was a posting about something about basically doing the right thing and knowing it's the right thing to do and just trusting that things will work out. And now, see, that wasn't God's word directly, but how did her sister happen to post that at the exact time, not knowing what was happening? And it was a tremendous source of reassurance, again, like God was saying, hey, don't worry, I got this, you're okay. You did the right thing, don't you worry about anything. I'm there, and you can put your trust in me, I'm going to take care of you. And then, as again at the same time, the next night, a friend of mine said, listen, I didn't leave the parking lot. We meet a Bible study every Friday night, the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. He said, I didn't leave the parking lot after hearing what was going on until I prayed for you and your wife.
Oh.
And that was a brother in Christ who God again spoke through to reassure us that, hey, don't worry, you did the right thing. You're okay. Everything's going to be okay. And so, you know, that's more than just the Bible. You know, that's God.
Well, that's true, but I mean, you think that if someone asks God a question and then they hear something in their mind.
Yeah, now that is
valid, or do you think that their mind just thinking?
Well, and again, like I'm saying, this was not, I wasn't hearing things in my mind. God was using people, God was using circumstances, God was using scripture to get his point across. I didn't have, you know, Pastor Al, this is God, I'm speaking to you. You know, that type of a thing.
I mean, in your mind.
Yeah, I didn't have that in my mind or anything. It was just the scripture and the Holy Spirit bearing witness. Now, let me get to the other thing you mentioned about dreams. I do know somebody who came out of Islam, and he had a dream, and the situation in the dream as a Muslim was very similar to Revelation 19, where he saw, and he didn't know anything about Revelation 19. He had a dream where there was a man on a white horse with a sword in a field of battle, and he was laying down in the mud and the blood and everything, and this man reached out to him. And he didn't know who he was, except the name Jesus came to mind, I believe he said. And he started trying to figure out what this was. He didn't get saved from the dream, and the scriptures didn't, I mean, light up in his head or anything, or there was nothing that said, thou must be born again. But what it was is it put a desire in his heart to know who this guy on the horse was. He started listening to Christian radio. First, one of the first things he heard was Bruce Musselman. Some of our listeners know Brother Bruce Musselman. And he heard Bruce Musselman on the radio talking about Jesus. And then he heard me on the radio talking about Jesus. And he heard some other people on the radio talking about Jesus. And he wanted to know who this Jesus was. And finally, he heard the gospel, and he got saved. I had the privilege of baptizing him. It was one of the most fun baptisms I ever did. We baptized him in the pool at the Holiday Inn Express there in Richfield. He got done. He was so excited, he swam a lap around me. Like a fish around in the pool.
Oh, my
but and the reason I bring this up, there's a group, it's an independent fundamental Baptist group that that's putting the Word of God into various languages around the world. It's called First Word, I believe it is. Brother Keene, formerly a pastor down in the Cincinnati area. I can't think of the name of the church down there, and I think is who is heading that for a while. There's a number of people up in this area. I think there were some people at Cleveland Baptist Church that worked there and things like that. And I was in a meeting that they had, sort of a seminar type thing, on getting the Word of God into various languages where it's not been published around the world. And This was held at Mansfield Baptist Temple. And while we were there, this subject came up. And these people who had been working in some Islamic areas of the world, they said, no, you don't understand. There are people in the Islamic world who are dreaming about some guy named Jesus. They don't know who he is. They don't get saved from the dream. The dream doesn't save them, but it puts a curiosity in their heart, a wanting to know who he is. And they go online and they start searching. And there are people who are coming to Christ not because of the dream directly. So I do believe that God can put a curiosity, put a longing, put a want to in somebody's heart, especially if somebody's praying for them. If somebody's praying for them, I believe God will move upon that heart and put a curiosity there. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. They are not going to get saved unless there's Scripture involved.
Yeah, but if someone asks God a question, and then they get an answer, is that your own mind, or is that God talking to them?
Well,
if they get an answer,
I had a friend of mine who used to always say, well, God told me this and God told me that, and I questioned him on it, and what I came to the conclusion, what he was saying was, when he said God told me this, it was really more along what I would say when God led me to understand something, or God helped me to understand something, like God led me to have confidence that he was taking care of me by highlighting these verses for me as I read them. Now, if my friend had read that, he would have said, God told me not to be afraid. And I would say, God showed me not to be afraid, you know, but sometimes it's semantics, but in terms of audible voices in the head, if we're praying and searching for answers, I believe God will lead us to the truth, and he will guide us through his Spirit, especially if we're saved. The Spirit of God bears witness to our spirit, and he'll lead us and he'll guide us. And for the unsaved person that's wondering if there is a God, or if any of this matters, or if there's any truth to this, I believe God, through his Spirit and in his mercy, is going to try to draw that person and lead that person. But as far as the audible voice in the head, God, what should I do here? I want you to do this. I would question that myself, because unfortunately, I know somebody that was listening to voices like that and doing all the wrong things. But he did it because, God told me.
But if the answers are scriptural and according to the Bible.
Well, you just brought up a great point.
It's still not possible.
Yeah, you just brought up a great point. If the answers are scriptural, you know, Isaiah, remember, said, to the law and to the testimony, they speak not according to these things because there's no light in them. And so the answers do not contradict Scripture. I don't think you're going to go too far wrong. But we do have to be careful, because some people lean more to getting these visions and dreams and such rather than reading the Word of God. And the devil would love to get people hooked on these things. And, you know, give them some good things first, entice them in, you know, like the casino helping you to win a few games to get you hooked, and then take all your money from you. And
thank you.
Yeah, so...
You did a wonderful job of answering.
Thank you. But in all things, we've got to take it to the Scripture. And if it doesn't agree with the Scripture, it doesn't matter where it's coming from, we hold up the Word of God as our ultimate source of faith and practice. That's our guide.
Okay, thank you very, very much. Mm-hmm. And you have a blessed evening.
Well, thank you, Nancy.
And I know you have other callers.
All right. Yeah, we're going to get to a few here. But thanks for calling. God bless. Take care.
Thank you.
And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Terry coming in next as our next caller in line. And Terry, welcome to the program this evening.
Good evening.
Well, good evening. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well.
That's good.
The Lord is
good. I'm sorry?
The Lord is good.
Yes, he is. And we've been watching him do great things lately and anticipating him doing more great things. So excited about that.
God answered prayer, I think, with your president.
Well, you know, yes, it is. We've been praying that God would deliver, and the Bible talks about they're snared in their, caught up in their own snare, or they fall in the pit that they've digged for themselves. They basically shot themselves in the foot, the Democrats did. They were trying to turn a couple of the Republicans, and one of them got so disgusted with them, Murkowski from Alaska, that she said, this I'm not voting for anything to continue this. And they lost a number of votes, and they're scheduled to have a vote, so far as I know, on Wednesday, where they believe that they will be acquitting him. And as somebody said, that note to Nancy Pelosi, that's acquittal for life. And the State of the Union address, though, is Tuesday night. I'm hoping to get a chance to watch that. See, that's going to be interesting, watching some sour faces on the Democrat side.
I watch that all the time when it's on.
Yeah.
State of the Union. I don't think I've ever missed the State of the Union.
It's
in the last 10 years or more.
I think it's more good to watch, because it's good to watch the reactions of people. I remember last year's State of the Union address, when they were talking some things about pro-life, and to watch these leftist Democrats sit on their hands with sour faces as they were talking about defending unborn children. I mean, just absolutely shows you for what they are. Terry, I know you haven't got a chance to get to your question. Our break is coming up. Do you want to hold for just a few minutes? All right, and Tom's on the line too. Tom, hold on as well, and we'll get to you guys after the break. And don't go away, we've got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation here this evening. You can give us a call toll-free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here. We've got a couple people lined up right now. We'll get to in just a few moments. And somebody had called in to mention about an ad that was pro-life that was banned from the Super Bowl. And it just goes to show there's still a lot of prejudice out there against the pro-life position. We still got our work cut out for us. We're making advances all the time. I've not seen the actual commercial myself just yet, but it's sad. But they just don't want it. They'll have all kinds of other stuff on there. But they won't have that. But at any rate, I do thank our caller for calling in about that. I also want to remind you that we're brought to you tonight not only by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor, but also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights. That's 4889 Turney Road. That's right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call them for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And as I mentioned there too, if you live out in that area, Garfield Heights area, and you're looking for a little part-time work, stop by East Coast Pizza or give them a call at 216-341-9100. They're looking for drivers to deliver pizzas. And so, like I said, if you're looking for some a little extra spending money, a little extra work, just call or stop by East Coast Pizza. Call 216-341-9100 or stop by at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And then certainly if you're hungry, check out one of their pizzas. Great pizza there. East Coast Pizza, 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School in Garfield Heights. Call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. All right, we're going to get back to our program here. We've got Terry who's waiting patiently, and Tom's waiting as well. So let's get Terry here. And Terry, welcome back to the program.
Yes.
Yeah, well, we had you on just a little bit before we hit the break there, and we were talking about a few things, but didn't have a chance to get into your questions at all tonight. But again, appreciate you bringing up the president and the state. We were talking about the State of the Union address coming up Tuesday night. Encourage people to keep praying for President Trump and for our country, also for Canada. This agreement that was signed between Canada, the United States, and Mexico hopefully will be a mutual benefit to all three countries. And so that's what we're hoping and praying.
Amen. I believe that God. I believe that God has a purpose for Donald Trump. I always believe that.
Amen.
He was president, became president. But
mm-hmm.
Anyway, I was just going to mention that I've been studying Samuel.
Uh huh.
And I come across chapter 15, 1 Samuel chapter 15, where it talks about Saul becoming king.
Right.
And. You know, one thing I never realized before, though, is that Saul was actually considered an anti-god.
Because in the sense that he was in place of, yeah.
Yeah, because he never did what God told him to do.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting when you look at Saul? He started out very humble, remember? In fact, yep. he didn't even want to be king. He actually hid because it said that let me go back here a little bit It was back in, where was it that Saul was anointed king? Was that chapter 9, chapter 10? Let's see here. Or am I thinking of the right spot here? Yeah, here's Saul. And let me drop down. I'm running through here where Saul's father sent him out to look for their donkeys that had wandered off. And he runs into Samuel, and Samuel then, of course, has been told that the person who's going to be the king was going to come, and we see where Samuel meets Saul there, and then I think it's in chapter 10 where he actually anoints, chapter 10 here, verse 1, then Samuel took the vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?" And so we have this, but later on when they go to proclaim him king, as you drop down here further in chapter 10, verse 17, Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah, and they get them all there, and he goes through the history and all that, and then they select the king. And what's crucial here is in verse 19, it says, "And ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations, and ye have said unto him, Nay, but set a king over us." And that's exactly what you said. He's an anti-God or an anti, in place of God here, because God had delivered them, and they said, no, we want a king, not God, to rule over us and to guide us and direct us and protect us. Instead of God, they rejected God. So God said, "Okay, I'll give you what you want," and He gave them a humble man. Because when they pick Saul in, verse 21, they got the tribe of Benjamin, the family of Matri, and then it says, "And Saul the son of Kish was taken, and when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further if the man should yet come thither, and the Lord answered, Behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff." He didn't even want to be king.
No. But, there's one thing here that it says that in 15 chapter or verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "And Saul smote the Amalekites from the Havilah until thou
gavest
the shirt that is over against Egypt." But, and again, he took Agai, the king of Amalek, alive.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do exactly what God told him to do. God told him to utterly annihilate. Annihilate the Amalekites.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. He did.
Yeah. And let me interject something there too, Terry. This wasn't just merely a case where he's turned them loose and ethnic cleansing and all this. This was because God had passed judgment on the Amalekites,
right.
And He chose Israel to be his tool of judgment, just like many years later when the Jewish people had rejected God, and God raised up Nebuchadnezzar, a pagan king, and said, "He's my servant." And he raised up Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon to bring judgment upon Judah and the destruction of Jerusalem that followed, and the captivity, the 70 years of captivity. And so that's what we're looking at here. This was a case of God's judgment on the Amalekites, and they were supposed to be destroyed completely. All the people, all the sheep, all the oxen, all of it. They were not to keep any of it. And yet, he disobeyed God, didn't he?
That's right. And you know, I look at that, and I look at, you know, how God wants us to live in our life.
Mm-hmm.
No, he wants all of us. He just doesn't want part of us. He wants our whole heart.
But it's easy to get caught up and think we know better than God, because, you know, it's telling when Samuel says in verse 14, "What meaneth then this bleeding of the sheep in mine ears?" This is after Saul says, "I've performed the commandment of the Lord." Well, he hadn't.
Well, yeah, and he was trying to blame the...
The people did it.
People for not doing what God said to do.
Yeah, hey, you're the king, you're the leader, you can't blame them.
Yeah.
And God took the kingdom from him. and that was it. And it's this disobedience, because a little further down in verse 22, it says, and Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." And then he makes a tremendous statement here: "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry."
Right.
You know,
he was going to use those same sheep and oxen that he took from the Amalekites, and he was going to use them for sacrificing unto the Lord.
Yeah. And God said, no. No.
And so that's how come God took the spirit away from him.
Mm-hmm. And it's a perfect example. We are given things to do by God. He tells us what to do. We think we know better. And then when we're called on it, we say, "Well, you know, I was just trying to help out," and we're not doing what God wants us to do.
That's right. We have to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Yes.
If God says it, we do it.
Exactly. So that's a powerful section there, those three statements there. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. That's important, because the sacrifices and the fat of rams that was to be burnt as an offering, and the smoke was to go up to be pleasing to the Lord. And he's saying without obedience and without hearkening to God, it doesn't matter what good we do. It stinks in God's nostrils. And then to make the statement, "For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft." And you think about that for a minute. What is witchcraft? It's turning to something, it's turning to something other than God to get what you want, to get things done.
You know, I look at it this way too, that, people that don't believe in Jesus Christ are actually antichrist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're against Christ.
Yeah, and there's two ways of looking at it, in a sense. There's against Christ, anti, but anti also in the place of Christ.
Yeah.
In the place of. And see, Saul started out in the place of God initially, and now he's now acting against God.
Right. And he still acted as king, even when David became king, anointed with king by Samuel.
Yeah.
King,
yeah.
Which nobody knew about, not even Saul.
Yeah. So this is a good passage. This is one I encourage people to read. So I appreciate you bringing that up for us, Terry. And I'm going to have to get scooting along to Tom here as well before we run out of time. But this is a great passage. So.
God bless.
I'm sorry, I missed the last thing you said.
Oh. God bless, and we'll talk to you next week, Lord, with it.
All right. Well, God bless, and you have a great week as well. Thank you. Thank you, Terry.
Yes.
And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Tom waiting patiently. Tom, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, yeah. How you doing, Pastor?
I am doing well. How about yourself?
Yeah, I was just listening to your previous calls there, and I was just sitting here thinking that God's a lot more merciful and gracious than we realize, and we're a lot more sinful than we want to admit.
Yeah. Well, and just that case with Samuel and Saul.
Well, David wasn't much better, but
David
repented. That's
yeah. But I was going to say, Saul still was allowed to continue as king for a while.
Yeah.
Despite all of this.
I've heard people debate Saul, and whether some people say, oh, that he wasn't saved, and other people said, oh, he's saved. But if you read the end there, it says, when he died, that, that God says that he slept with his fathers. So,
yeah.
When the Bible talks about sleep, it talks about Christian sleep.
And that is a good point, Tom. I believe that we'll see Saul in heaven. I think Saul's a backslidden example of a backslider.
Well, really, when you look at all the all the people from the Old Testament, and even the New Testament, they all failed at something.
Oh yeah.
They all fail. About the most shining example, I think, of the Old Testament, though, is probably, you know who I'm talking about.
Well, I'd say one is Enoch, because he's the only one that doesn't have anything bad saying about him.
Joseph. Probably.
But even Joseph was a little braggadocious.
Christ-like.
Yeah, but remember, Joseph was a little braggadocious, you know, telling his brothers and his father about his dreams.
He was, but he was very obedient to God.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But again, this points to the divine authorship of the Scriptures, if you think about it, because take Moses, for instance. Moses, considered one of the greatest of all the prophets to ever live, except for Jesus Christ. Of course, that's God in the flesh, so obviously he'd be greater. But Moses, this great man that is responsible for so much, first five books of the Bible, receiving the Ten Commandments, leading.
Well, God wasn't too happy when he hit the rock.
Exactly, and we see some things about
that was a sign of hitting Christ, actually.
Yeah, because he was only supposed to strike it once, because that pictured that Christ was only struck once.
Right.
And then the second time when he struck it, Christ does not have to be sacrificed more than once.
Absolutely.
By one sacrifice, the book of Hebrews says, by one sacrifice.
Right.
And not two. And so when Moses struck the rock the second time, he broke the type that God was establishing, because the type was, here the rock was broken once, struck once, and then the life-giving water poured out. Now all we have to do to be saved, we don't have to re-sacrifice Christ. What do? We speak.
Well, just 1 John, if we confess our sins,
exactly.
He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins.
And the life-giving water pours out, doesn't it?
Right, the blood of Jesus,
the blood of Christ
cleanses us from all iniquity.
Yeah, and so, we just have to speak. And Moses broke that type. There's some other things that he did.
Yeah, and I got a real quick question. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you got time to answer it.
Oh, go ahead.
I wanted to get your take on what I heard this week. It kind of got buried a little bit with all the impeachment talk and the caucuses in Iowa, but they're trying to put together a peace deal here with Trump in the Middle East. So I just wanted to see what your take is on that, because I get worried about some of these peace deals as to how it affects Israel, you know?
And you're right to do that, because here's the problem. Anytime any of these things involve the two-state solution, and in my view on the two-state solution is this: it's never worked any of the other times that they tried it. Why are they going to think it'll work again?
Frankly, if we read the Bible, I don't think we're going to see any kind of a lasting peace there.
Oh, no, not until Jesus comes.
Not until the Lord returns.
Yeah, and we know from Daniel chapter 9 that there will be some kind of covenant that'll bring a temporary peace that the Antichrist will recognize.
Amen.
But what I was going to say is, in Joel chapter 3, it talks about the Battle of Armageddon, where God draws the nations together in the Valley of Jehoshaphat.
Wonderful book.
Yeah, and one of the things that he says he brings them there is, he says at the end of verse 2, they've parted my land.
Yeah.
And meaning they've divided the land, and he thinks poorly of that. And, they parted the land when Israel was first being conceived as a Jewish state, with the Balfour Declaration at the end of World War I, just over 100 years ago. They in order to quell some of the Arab uprisings and stuff, they did land for peace, and they split off about three-quarters of the land to make the country of Jordan. A lot of people don't realize that was one of the first land for peace deals.
Well, I think that's when really God was awakening Israel.
Mm-hmm.
We point to 1948, which absolutely is, very clear.
Yeah.
But I think that Balfour Declaration and that whole period surrounding World War I, I think, was when God was really starting to move to set everything up for the last days.
Yeah, and then another reason I don't think that this treaty is going to be effective is, and I, you know, I voted for President Trump. I'm looking forward. I understand that Adam Schiff lifted up the impeachment hearings and saw a shadow. That means 4 more years of Trump, right? But Psalm 83.
I like that.
Yeah, Psalm 83 says it talks something that I think is prophetic for the future, and it talks about the enemies of Israel surrounding them, which corresponds to the nations surrounding Israel, the Islamic State surrounding Israel. And it makes a statement here in verse 4 where he says, they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. And Hamas and Hezbollah, Islamic Jihad, the Palestinian Authority, all these groups like that, they believe that Israel needs to be eliminated, no Jewish presence in the Middle East whatsoever. So that's not going to make for a lasting peace.
Anwar Sadat was a pretty good man, I thought.
Yeah.
What did they happen when he, you know, when Carter got them together? How long did it take before they killed Anwar Sadat?
Well, he made a deal, a peace treaty with Israel, and the Muslim Brotherhood, terrorist organization that it is, assassinated him.
Absolutely.
I remember watching the news footage of that. Yeah,
right.
And here's another thing: this peace deal requires people like Mahmoud Abbas, the head of the Palestinian Authority, who's a terrorist in his own right. They try to portray him as a moderate and peaceful guy. Hey, he's a vicious, bloodthirsty terrorist. You look at his history.
Absolutely.
And he has to renounce terrorism.
Well,
and Hamas has to renounce. They're not going to renounce terrorism.
No, I hate to
it's in the Quran.
No, these groups, these factions that are radical, they are treacherous people.
Yeah. And so they are not going to rest.
And I don't. You can't. I don't think we can really trust them. So
yeah.
You know.
And according to Muslim teaching, Muhammad set the example. You can agree to a treaty to peace for up to 10 years and violate it any time that you feel you have the upper hand, which is what may very well happen with the peace treaty that's recognized during the time of the tribulation. They may go along with it. 7 years is less than 10 years. They can agree to it. They can do exactly what Muhammad did, violate the peace treaty that he violated, and in his case, he slaughtered and plundered the Jews as a result.
Palestinians don't seem too happy with his proposal, so I really got my doubts whether he could get off the ground. But
you know, it's better than most, but I just don't think it's going to make
it. Well, I get a feeling too, Pastor, that I think that Trump's son is more of the brokering with this than anybody.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, it's nice that he's trying to work this out, but this is one of the things. The Bible says that Jerusalem is going to become a burdensome stone.
Yeah, and I don't know.
And it is.
I don't know if he's getting the counsel about the last day's prophecy either. We don't know what's going on.
Well, and we know that George W. Bush had that same problem. He was surrounded by people who believed that the world was going to get better and better and usher in the kingdom, you know, the kingdom dominion theologists.
No, Ronald Reagan, he was more aware because Billy Graham was getting to him.
Yeah, Ronald Reagan
so
was.
He
but,
was aware of the last
Yeah,
prophecy.
But George W. Bush, he was getting bad counsel.
Oh, and, yeah, he was.
Yeah.
I think so.
Hey, Tom, we're about out of time here.
Listen, thank you
and,
for taking my call. And
yeah.
Good night and God bless you.
A good topic there, too, Tom. I appreciate that. Thanks for calling. God bless you as well.
Alrighty. Have a good night.
Thank you so much. And I want to thank everybody for listening here tonight. And do hope you'll tune in again next week. Follow us online, livewithpastoral.com. Join us this coming Friday and at 1:30 in the afternoon until 2 o'clock, and then next Sunday, 11 o'clock till midnight as well. Thanks for listening here tonight, and do pray for our country. Pray for our president. Hope you get a chance to watch the State of the Union address on Tuesday night, and pray for a quick vote on Wednesday of acquittal so that our country can begin to move on to more important things. A lot of things that we could talk about, just don't have time to tonight. We're out of time. Thanks for listening. God bless, and have a great week.
Yeah.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.